We like to think of ourselves as basically good people who make mistakes, not as sinners desperately needing the grace of God. But to run life's race well, we need to acknowledge the truth about ourselves. We have hearts that are desperately wicked. Today, teaching from 1 John to shed light on the darkness that's within each of us. Please stay tuned. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series explains why good people do bad things. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues teaching us about the healing power of the light.
I remember on a farm, we had a musty old basement, and we didn't have electricity in my early years. I guess that dates me a little bit, but then we're talking about Canada, where they were not quite up on all the modern things like here. And we used to go downstairs either with a lantern or a candle or a lamp. And it was incredible just to see all those bugs scurry. I mean, all these little furry things were heading for somewhere. And that's the way we are. That's the imagery of the light coming to shine. It is a painful light. It is a painful experience to finally reach an objective standard that is holiness. It's very painful. So the Bible says that men who love the darkness hate the light. Third experience is, and this gets more tricky now, they think that they are walking in light. They confuse light with darkness. Now, I'm going to invite you to turn to 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to be in there for the rest of this message. 1 John chapter 1, where we have this amazing motif of light, darkness, continuing with all kinds of insights. John says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." Wow, just uninterrupted, beautiful, holy light. "If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live by the truth." Now that's verse 6. The first thing that we do, and he is writing to people who were Gnostics. Maybe you're not acquainted with that word. Gnosticism believed in enlightenment, that there was a feeling of enlightenment that one could have. So Gnostics were into light too. The problem is their light was actually darkness. The Bible says, "Woe to those who call light darkness and darkness light and good evil and evil good." These Gnostics were the New Agers of the day. In fact, books have been written to show that the modern New Age movement is nothing but a revival of ancient Gnosticism. So you had people say, "Okay, I've got all this sin in my life. I'm walking in what is disobedient to the Scriptures, but I'm having fellowship with God too. My God is accepting me." Now notice what the text says. First of all, we lie to others. We lie to others. That's in verse 6. But then we lie to ourselves. Let's glance down to verse 8. "If we claim to be without sin," and many Gnostics said that, just like there are people today who say, "Well, I haven't sinned." You meet people like that. "Well, you know, I may be not as good as I could be, but I haven't sinned." Notice, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves." First of all, we lie to others, then we deceive ourselves. You'll never understand the true nature of evil unless you understand the deception. People who walk in darkness call it light. They are the enlightened ones. They're the modern ones. We who believe in the Bible, I mean, that's going backwards, not forwards, you understand. And then, as if that isn't enough, they eventually make God a liar. Verse 10, "If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is no place in us." So notice the progression. We lie to others. We deceive ourselves. We lie to ourselves. And at the end of the day, because the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, now we actually are lying to God too. So the deception has come full circle. It is very complete. You know, there are some animals whose means of defense is to emit an odor that is so strong that all who are near that particular animal must flee. There's one that comes immediately to mind. and it's black with some white stripes. Some of you who are city dwellers, perhaps you have never encountered that particular aroma. I want you to know it's powerful and quite debilitating. But you know, so far as the animal is concerned, so far as the skunk is concerned, we have no evidence that he's troubled by it. To him, it might smell like Chanel No. 5, right? And there are some people who are destroying their families. They're really doing evil. They have become so selfishly focused. They are crude. They cannot see beyond their own immediate needs. And you try to get through to them. And I've had wives say, for example, well, doesn't he get it? Can't he see it? Well, the answer is no, dearie. I'm sorry. He doesn't see it. And there are two kinds of deceptions. One is a moral kind of deception. The other is a deception regarding teachings, like the Gnostics, who actually believe that they are walking in light, that they are okay. You know, the reason that some of you find a real struggle, you say, what's all this bit about Jesus dying on the cross? You know, why have that in Christianity? Why drag that in? It's because you don't see your sin. Because, you see, if you saw your sin, you'd say, oh, how marvelous that Jesus died. But if you don't see yourself as a sinner, you don't need any redemption, do you? And the text says you deceive yourself. Martin Buber says the uncanny game of hide-and-seek in the obscurity of the soul in which it, the single human soul, evades itself, avoids itself, and hides from itself. Now I think we've gotten to the bottom of how deceptive we can be. The scripture says in the book of Proverbs, but the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. I love this, how vividly described. It says, they do not know what makes them stumble. You just look at people, you know, going from pillar to post, they have no idea what makes them stumble. They're walking in darkness and they think that they're walking in the light and they can't understand why they're tripping all over themselves every time they turn a corner. Well, that's the characteristics of those who walk in darkness. Well, thankfully, we also have the characteristics of those who love the light and who walk in the light. What does light do? First of all, light reveals who we are. Light reveals who we are. The scripture says, verse 7 of 1 John chapter 1, but if we walk in the light as God is in the light. Remember now, God is the one who is light. And if we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Paul says in the book of Ephesians, he says, now you were darkness, he says, that was in your past, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk, he says, as children of light. Now, our self-image, as we learned in a previous message, is first of all made up by every comment that people make. What our parents think of us, what our teachers think of us, what our coaches think of us, what our peers think of us, and so forth. But it's a very confusing mixture. And if you don't really know who you are and you have no standard by which to judge yourself, no wonder people are so desperately confused. But Calvin was absolutely right when he says we can never know who we are unless we first know who God is, because in the presence of God we see the depths of our sin. Oh, but God does not leave us there. And be assured, I do not want to leave you there. There is forgiveness, there is cleansing, there is healing. It is there in the presence of God, you see, that finally we know who we are with that solid reality of the light. And it is there that we find healing. And our sins become big, that God might cleanse us and forgive us. You've heard the story about the man who was doubled over his desk and called a pastor friend of mine and said, come over. And he came over, and here's the man lying flat across the desk. And the pastor thinks for sure that the man has discovered that his wife died or a child died or something. And the man said, I was thinking here about the business dealings that I have and how I have padded my expense accounts. And God has showed me how sinful it is, and I am looking into hell. And that's, by the way, what hell is. It is the white light of God's holiness with no remedy, with no relief. You say, well, you know, the guy's exaggerating. Most businessmen, many businessmen, have had their expense accounts. It's done all the time. It's a little infraction. But it's little until you see God. And when God begins to shine His light on it, suddenly it's a mighty big deal. Because now finally you have a standard by which it can be judged. Light reveals who we are. But God doesn't leave us there. He pours grace and cleansing into our hearts, as we shall see. Secondly, light reveals where we are going. It reveals where we are going. The scripture is very clear that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Look at the text that I just read a moment ago. But if we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Notice the imagery of walking. And you're not stumbling. Sometimes you're stubbing your toe, but you're not stumbling because you're walking in the light as God is in the light. Finally, reality. Finally, wholeness. We have fellowship one with another. That can mean that we have fellowship with God, which is most assuredly true, but we have fellowship with fellow travelers. I have fellowship with you. You have fellowship with me. It's that common bond because we know what the light is and we know where we are going, and sometimes we blow it, to be sure, but we at least know where the light is. It's in God's Word. And so it tells us where we are going, and we end up having fellowship with one another. Light also reveals our destination. It reveals our destination. You know, it's interesting that the Bible talks about those who do not know Christ as Savior, who are trying to save themselves, as walking in darkness, okay? Because they don't have a Savior, they don't see their sins clearly, and they keep stumbling and not knowing why they're tripping over themselves. But it's interesting that when they die, what happens? The Scripture says they are in outer darkness. I'm reminded of the man who was dying, the miser who would not respond to the gospel, and he said to his daughter, "Blow out the candle." They were in a little room, and a candle was burning. He said, "I can die in the dark." So here's a man who lives in the dark, he dies in the dark, and he ends up in the dark. Well, my friend, today I hope that you and I don't die that way. I, for one, would like to be able to die in the light, believing and trusting Jesus, with the sure knowledge that He will meet me on the other side of the parted curtain. This is Pastor Lutzer. And today I'm urging you to be honest about coming to the light. Sometimes I give a lecture on why Christ is the only Savior, why He alone has the qualifications of Saviorhood. And somebody said to me, "Yes, but this generation believes that there's nothing from which it has to be saved, because it does not believe in sin." My friend, that is darkness, great darkness. Blessed are those who come to the light, who are willing to acknowledge, yes, our need is great, but thank God that Jesus is a great Savior for great sinners.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with more of The Healing Power of the Light. Another message on why good people do bad things. Monday, more on the cost of coming to the light. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. You're hearing Why Good People Do Bad Things. This series is now a book, which we'd like to send as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us Monday for our next edition of Running to Win.